Ramsey TV.
Risking all the noise and the wreck that is Eon 3 and the birds that chirp and are really trying to ruin my show. That's okay. This is Martin Zender bringing you the truth from the great outdoors. Here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, we got a construction project down here. I think they're rebuilding the Tower of Babel. And we have an Alfred Hitchcock nightmare in the trees here, so they're going to be attacking me quite soon. But that's okay, because what have I been telling you and telling you? People are desperate to not believe in death. People are desperate for Jesus Christ not to have died. And they look for any wrinkle. There goes my beautiful hairdo. They look for any wrinkle in the scriptures to desperately hope to do away with death. Because again, it's Satan's, or should I say Satan's, most precious lie. I like to mispronounce his name, Satan, just to aggravate him. Because I'm not afraid of him. He can only do to me what God has him to do, so... No, don't fear the reaper. Okay, now, the latest attempt, it's not, here's the thing. It's not the latest attempt. There's nothing new under the sun. This has been going on. John 10:18. Are you ready for this? I'm not sure you are, but I'm going to bring it to you anyway. John 10:18. Let me show you what they do with this. You know what they do with this, John 10:18. Let's start with verse 17. That'll be interesting. Therefore, the Father is loving me, seeing that I am laying down my soul that I may be getting it again. No one is taking it from me, but I'm laying it down of myself. He's talking about his soul. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to get it again. To get it again. This precept I got from my Father. So this saying of Jesus having the, how does it word it? The right. No one is taking it from me, my soul. I'm laying it down. I have the right to lay it down and the right to get it again. People take this phrase, the right to get it again, and they assume that Jesus is raising himself from the dead. He gets it. But, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, anyone who even thinks this doesn't know what death is. Nobody has ever, ever raised themselves from the dead. We're not talking about near-death experiences. We're talking about being raised from the dead. No one has ever done it because death is the absence of life and apart from resurrection. And there's the whole reason why Satan doesn't like death, because it's essential if you're going to have a resurrection. And Satan, it's not that Satan, you know, is in love with death as much as he hates resurrection. So he hates resurrection so much. He wants to get people to not believe in the resurrection. Why do I have a hard time with that word? He wants to get people to not believe in the resurrection. Therefore, he denies death. And if you teach the immortality of the soul, you will be popular. This goes along with what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. Verses 2 through 4 there. He talks about those who will heap up teachers in accord with their own desires. Their hearing being tickled, they'll heap up teachers in accord with their own desires. The two main desires of humanity are immortality, and they want their own freaking free will. This is ultimately pride. This is ultimately wanting power. This is ultimately not wanting to lose control. This is ultimately a trust problem. So it's either pride or a problem trusting God, or both. So, knowing that, you know, people heap up teachers in accord with their own desires. So, if you are a teacher in Christianity and teach the immortality of the soul, you'll be popular, you'll be lauded, you'll get a paycheck from the institution. Yes, and you might even receive certificates, and you might even receive ticker tape parades, who knows? Women might come by and kiss you after the service. I loved your talk on how I won't die. I loved your talk on how I control my own destiny. Yeah, that's what happens with that crap. And Satan loves it. He's sitting back, folding his arms. He invented it. Why wouldn't he love it? But neither of these things are true. You see, I teach the truth, and that's why, well, you don't see anybody lining up to kiss me here, do you? If Charles was here, then that'd be a different story, but Charles is not here, so... So I'm all alone. Let's go back to John. I'm going to make this make sense to you. Then I'm going to go to another verse in John. You're going to see what it is. I'm not going to tell you ahead of time here. I am laying down my soul that I may be getting it again. Let me ask you this. When did Jesus lay down his soul? It was at the cross. When did he do it? He did it 1 second before he died. 1 second before he died, Jesus Christ laid down his soul, right? Because you can't lay down your soul when you're dead. You can't do anything when you're dead. Ecclesiastes 9:5, I love this Solomon guy. The dead do not know anything. That's no insult to the dead. Not saying they weren't intelligent when they were alive. Many of them were. Many of them were not, but that's not my, it's not my problem right now. Nobody can lay down their soul. So Jesus Christ laid down his soul. You can say he laid down his life. Soul and life aren't the same, but I'm saying you could say the other thing. 1 second before he died. Knowing that, when did he get up his soul? When did he take it? When did he get it? That's the scriptural term here. I have the right to be getting it again. When did he do that? 1 second after he was raised. This is not a problem. 1 second before he died, he gave it up, his soul. 1 second after he was raised, he picked it up. Who roused Christ? God roused Christ. I'm going to get to that when we get to the word rouse. All right, and besides, Jesus says, I have the right to get it again, to get it. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, I think it is, something around there, the same numbers, same Corinthian thing, Paul says that, what do you have that you did not obtain? In the Greek, that word obtain means to get. What do you have, speaking to us, to human beings, what do you have that you did not get? In other words, receive from God. Jesus says, I will be getting my soul again. Getting it. He doesn't say, I'll be taking it. He can't take it when he's dead. He gets it because God woke up Jesus Christ. All right, now here's a verse that some think is more difficult for the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, but I assure you it's not. Don't panic out there, people. John 2, verse 19. Here we go. John 2. And let's start with verse 19, which is exactly what I said. Jesus answered and said to them, to the Pharisees, raise this temple, R-A-Z-E, that is destroy. And in 3 days, I will raise, R-A-I-S-E, kind of a play on words in English, I will raise it up. Okay. Verse 20, the Jews then said, in 46 years was this temple built. Why don't they just say, in 46 years? Because they're religious people, and they like to talk in high terms. They like to confound people with their pomposity. And in this case, in 46 years. You mean 46? No, we mean 46. Unfortunately, Abraham Lincoln did the same thing when he said 47 years ago. You mean 87 years? No. Raise this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jews said, in 46 years was this temple built, and you will be raising it up in 3 days. Verse 21, yet he said it concerning the temple of his body. So many people see this word raised and they think Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. That is impossible. Just thinking that thought, just entertaining that for a second, even if the text might be ambiguous, it's ridiculous. That should be your starting point. Well, we know nobody can do anything when they're dead. That should be your starting point. But instead of that being the starting point, people look at these two verses and they go, seems to me that people might be able to raise themselves from the dead. No, people can't raise themselves. The Tower of Babel's coming up over here in front of me. It's really quite impressive. I'm not going to show it to you. I don't want you to be distracted. I'm distracted enough by it. I see the logo on the side of the crane there. It says Nimrod Builders. Okay. Now, check this out. Verse 22. When then he was roused from among the dead. You see, this is a big clue. When he was roused, That's when he raised his body. He raised his body when he was roused. He was roused. Doesn't say he roused himself. When then he was roused from among the dead, his disciples are reminded that he said this, and they believe the scripture and the word which Jesus said. Okay, now, there are three words associated with people coming back from the dead. And unless you distinguish these, you're going to get lost. I'm here to help you. And those words are raise, rouse, and vivify. It's so beautiful. And I'm sure the King James messes it up. Because what do? Everybody? Yeah, they take different Greek words and they'll translate it with the same English word. I.e., Gehenna, Hades, Tartarus, translate it all with one English word, hell. And many other such things they do. So, I'm sure it happens here. I haven't looked into it, but I can pretty much assume. So, raise, rouse, and vivify. Raise is the Greek word anastemai. Anastemai. It means the literal elements are ana is up, stemai is stands. It's up, stand. Really, literally, to stand up. That's to raise. Rouse, agiro. That's the Greek word translated rouse in the concordant literal New Testament. And the word vivify is zupeo. Zupeo. Watch the mouth. Zupeo. The vivify is to be given life beyond the reach of death. So let's look at these three. Raise, to stand up. Rouse, like to wake, awaken from sleep. When it's applied to death, it's a faded figure, but it does mean to, you know, it's like, wake up. Hey, wake up. They rouse you. Your dad used to rouse you, or your mom used to rouse you when you were a kid to get up and get ready for school. Then there's vivify. I love the elements of the word vivify. Zupeo. Zoo is, of course, zoology. It's a word for life. And paeo is do. So the literal English elements are live do. I think of the Beatles song. Live, live me do, you know I'll live you, you'll always be you. I just modified it. So now here's the key to understanding this. These three different Greek words correspond to three different elements of the human experience: body, soul, and spirit. We are bodies. The Spirit of God comes in us, and we become living souls. The soul is a result of the spirit meeting with the body. We don't have souls, we are living souls. But we do have the Spirit of God in us. These are the two things we have. The two elements here are really spirit and body. The Spirit of God comes into us, and we have a body. Obviously, here it is. Mine is wearing horizontal stripes today. Some people say you cannot make sense for a living while wearing horizontal stripes. Well, I am here to shut those people up and to put this nasty rumor to rest, because you can see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears what's going on here. So, and the soul is the result of having a body and the spirit. It's the senses, it's the five senses, it's awareness, consciousness. So the word raise, anastemai, has to do with the body. Rouse has to do with the soul waking up. It's like becoming conscious. And vivify has to do with the spirit. That is, you're given spirit without measure and you cannot die anymore. I have a verse for you. Romans 4:24. We who are believing on him, that's God, who rouses Jesus our Lord from among the dead. God roused Christ, and then Christ stood up. So the only sense you can say where Jesus Christ raised himself was when he got up off the slab. I'm not being funny. This is the truth. It's so specific in the Concordant version. I don't know how other versions botch this, but the Concordant says God roused Christ. You can also say he raised him, of course, in another sense, but the first act of Jesus Christ returning from the dead was being woke up. He can't wake himself up. He can raise himself up off the slab in the tomb once he's roused. You see how specific scripture is. So you take that verse in John 2:19, I will raise it. I will raise this temple. Yeah, he did raise his temple from the slab after he was roused. I love the specificity of God. We have no problems when first you just start with a simple thing, the dead do not know anything, Ecclesiastes 9:5, then believe the scriptures that said Jesus Christ died for our sins. Once you're established there, you know that there's no way he could bring himself from the dead. Then you find out there's three different Greek words for coming back from the dead that have to do with body, soul, and spirit. Body being raised, soul being roused, spirit being vivified. And you look specifically at the verses that say God roused Christ. Having been roused then by God, he gets up, maybe yawns, walks out of the tomb, and blows Mary's mind. For starters.